And we are glad you are there in the internet. Sorry for 2 minutes delay. I was enjoying some cupcakes that Young Keys has here. And how can these pastors not have some chocolate? That would be a sin, all right? Now, we're going to start with number 255. I hope you have take a pound of chocolate a day. Look at how strength you get and so on. 255, this is a wonderful and remarkable song we start all the evening. Don Pedro, 255 esta noche. Here we are. Bethel, you know, from 9 o'clock in the morning, some of you are here, all the way to the end. Lord, thank you that this is your day and your people have gathered together to worship you and to love you and to express their love for you. This is your day, Lord, and we are so glad that you have blessed us with strength, with might, with resources to study your word and to sharpen our life to walk more close to you. Bless us tonight as we look upon the scripture, as we sing songs of praise to your name, as we remember that we are saved because of your grace. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, we have a good day this morning and wonderful visitors that we hosted. It was one of those beautiful days in the house of God. How was the question tonight, my brother, Greg? We're okay? Then you find out you have to work for your salvation or something like that. We are putting a secret recording under the table, you know. All right.
Now we got two recordings on the class.
Now tell me, did the question came from somebody in the internet? Or?
No, I've had that question on my list for a while. I don't know exactly where it came from.
We want to invite you in the internet to write to secretary at BethelMorningHill.org. And if you have a Bible question, our brother Greg, ask his class at 3:30. Remember that we always write, okay? Okay. Now, what is your, it's good. And if you have a rebuttal to the question, we recorded the questions, all right? And we make it available on the internet so you can listen and rebuttal. The only way to learn the Bible is searching the Bible. That's the way. And the only thing that we never accept is any opinion without the Bible. They have to be in the Bible. All right. Now, your song for tonight to praise the name of God. Okay. We have nominated the young people. We have nominated Shelley Dulilo, member of the Wednesday night class. And I'll tell you why. We go to Starbucks and Pastor pays on Wednesday night. So we go to Starbucks and everybody orders and so on and we're going to pay and Shelly sleep a little car and then put the car out and then I'm going to pay and the whole thing came to half. So I said, Shelly, they're my friend. I guess that Shelly works in a Starbucks and they give you 50%. I never saw that. 50% discount. The bill was $9 something and we pay $5, so it must be $45 or something. But for outstanding. I said, Shelley, the Lord bless you and told me you have to be here. All right. All right. What's what is your son number? All right. Yes. 208. 208. Yes, indeed. You have a good dinner with the 8 friends today?
Yes.
Wonderful. I get to know everything that's known about Bethel. I was in the restaurant. They told me they're having a dinner for 8 in your church. In my church? Yes, sir. And Dana is orchestrating the whole thing. All right. Enjoy yourself. That was good. Yesterday we had a great dinner together. And some of us had to take food home because there was so much food served. And that was very, very beautiful. I think 18 of us enjoy a good dinner in Mimi's Cafe. All right, number 208, Are You Washed in the Blood? Of your sin. That was a question that you saw today in the happenings on the insert, an email from my friend there in Costa Rica who they told me how much they appreciate. They don't understand, they cannot understand why Christ will die for them. But that's the only way. We have no other person that can die for our sin. Number 208. We do have a genius college class, fantastic. We allow some adults to come in at $5 each for the class, and so we can build some fun there. Señor Andrew.
455.
455. You know, Andrew, I forgot what that is. 455. Forgive me, Andrew. is true. If you have Jesus in your heart, there is a melody of love from heaven in your heart. All right? Another song, do you like it? You like a song, darling? No? Oh, all right. And yes, yes. 75? All right, 75. Forgive me, I don't know what it is. I should memorize this. 75. What's wrong with me? Okay. 75. Here it is. Abide with me. Wow, that's deep. Thank you, darling. 75. This is wonderful, and we have plenty of room to sing. I'm probably praying to preach today in Pacific Hill. And Ralph, how many think? Where are we?
30 people.
Oh, well, that's a good crowd. And it's wonderful that now for 9 years, this month, last month of January was 9 years we are preaching on Pacific Hill. We got the ministry because nobody in this place want to say preach the word in that place, and the Malones came to this church because we did that, and the Tosters came to this church because we did that, and for 1 year, Mrs. Otero and myself, we didn't enjoy it, and then the church learned how to handle it. And today, I know you have Toyan to play the piano over there, and that was very nice. It's very, very nice to see how the ministry expanded, and those people, they are looking forward to that. The Ogners, the new Ogners, who are Jewish people, they told me this is the church of our place. And so I just don't see a word. I just go over there. And when they had trouble, they called the office. They said, Pastor, will you come? There is a family like this. And I remember when Mr. Forrest, it came to a point that he cannot have no place to be in a hospital, no place. They brought over there and they treated him first class because he was here from our church. And he died in peace in that place. All right. Now, another song in your heart. Lara, you have to be here Wednesday. Okay, tell me.
204.
What number?
204.
I know that's your favorite. But you have to be here Wednesday or Tricia will get upset. All right? 204. another son you have, Brother Prater?
206.
Yeah, that's an impressive son. I forgot the name of the lady who sings so high. Remember they used to sit over there when she sang that very high in 206? I was afraid of this being. She what's that, Mrs.?
Wasn't Terry
Moore? Moore?
It was an older lady.
Moore, no?
Yeah, Ann.
Ann Moore. Very, very nice. And she had two daughters, and one even helped me when we had the office over there in Brother Cassandra's place. One of the girls went pick it up, and she really worked in the papers and so on. But when she sang this song, that was her favorite song. Boy, she glowed, and it was so high that I was afraid this baby will fall apart. All right, 206. His name, that I was afraid that being the whole church here would move away. You can see in her face how she was thankful to God for this. All right, stanza number two. Into the stage. All right, come on, Michael and Christine and Andrew and Matthew and Greg and all right, the pastor's quiet. Yeah, Gabriel, let's see. This guy with the lights, look at the pastor will get a pants like that or shoes like that. Boy, will be an attraction to preaching. All right, oh, look, the pastor's choir restored. And come on, Lucas, we got all the evangelists. Matthew, Lucas, we got everything. We have here, okay? Jesus loved me. Yes, I know. Okay. We still have future. Here's our future, all right? Here we are.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Raquel. That was great. And I saw all of them here. I said, I don't want to miss it. And they're part of a life. This morning when the church closed with the sun, the ones who were here 15 years ago, they were tiny as can be, all right? And I was telling Brother Jaffre, I said, it's unbelievable. The three were over there. We knew them when they were just little girls. The only they do is cry. But it's just so beautiful to know that when you raise your children in the Lord, they can be used of God in a mighty way. Let's pray, and we'll look in Revelation 14 tonight. Father, we we have come together to study thy word and to look upon certain truth of the book of Revelation, and we have come to chapter 14. Father, we do it paragraph by paragraph as you wrote it, and whatever we read, we believe. We are not having any extra interpretation. We want to see what you have to say to us. Bless us and give us tremendous encouragement today as we look into this chapter of Revelation 14. Thank you for those who are listening. Thank you for those even who differ in the opinion, who have a different opinion. Lord, one thing we know, at the end, all fall together in one place in the heavens. And we all are going to be together with you for sure. And we are grateful. In Jesus, we are grateful. Amen. Now, the book of Revelation in chapter 1, thank you, Anthony, in chapter 1, verse 1, it tells, I start always in this way, when you study Revelation, do not pass by the title of Revelation. And I was telling Pedro, we're going to study Revelación. He said, no, Apocalipsis, he said. And that's really the Greek name of the book, Apocalipsis, which means a revelation of the end, all right? And that is the word revelation that you have there, is the word Apocalipsis. And that's the Spanish title of the verse. The Catholic Church has used the first two or three words of the first text to label the books of the New Testament. And correctly, they have put Apocalipsis, like my brother Pedro said, because it's the revelation of the end. The revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. And nobody can tell you that this is a mystery book. We can make this a mystery book, but it is not. Now, there are things that you and I will never know. That's for true. But it doesn't mean it's a mystery. And look at the blessing in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. You know, people say, well, Revelation is too bad. That's of Satan. And they don't read the Revelation because it's too complicated. But the blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time of the coming of the Lord is very short. It said 2,000 years went by, but in the presence of God, 1,000 years is one day. So that's what they say the time is short. Now, we look into a revelation and into chapter by chapter and paragraph. Revelation 1 is the revelation of Christ. When you want to show some people Christ resurrected and empowered, read Revelation 1, and you will have a glorified presence of Christ. When you want to know how your church is doing, you read, you know, one of these business report. I want to read myself carefully, Revelation 2 and 3, and judge ourselves in light of that. That's a good measurement. As you read Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven churches, and there are seven things said about the churches. And from time of history, that's God's thermometer in that. From that on, Revelation 4 and 5 is the presentation of Christ. One thing impressed me in chapter 5. God said to Jesus, he is worthy to open the book. The book was closed in the book of Daniel. And now Jesus is worthy to open the book. They look on this earth and they found no one worthy to open the book. And now when Jesus is on the throne, he is worthy to open the book. So let nobody tell you that now the books are open to me. Now you can say, now I have a better understanding of the scripture. Yes. But the book of the secrets of God only was open to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come tonight to chapter 14, and you have an outline for you. If not, there is outlines in the back to take with you. And chapter 13 was the revelation of the Antichrist and the prophet that will be with the Antichrist to do a mighty work to completely oppose the kingdom of God. And we saw it in two Sundays. We saw first the Antichrist, and then the Bible doesn't say it is empowered by Satan, but the Bible said that the Antichrist is raised among people, is one of the people, and so the prophet. But now it's like a little parenthesis before it gets a little heavy, and God is saying, believers, don't panic. All of these will happen. All of these will take place. But there is a victory for the believer. And that's what chapter 14 is. And now, how can I be sure? So I got to the conclusion about 4 or 5 assurance on this. And tonight we're going to take assurance number one that we had a victory in Christ. All right. And we start in verses 1 to 4 tonight. Assurance number one is the believers will always be with Jesus. Look at verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. And I look, and lo, a lamb on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. So let's stop for a moment. They saw a lamb. Now, is that a literal lamb? Or just a picture of. Well, you put one hand here and you go to John Gospel in chapter 1 and in verse 29 of John Gospel. And you have over there the metaphorical phrase of what lamb means when it's pointed in the Bible. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him. John was baptizing people. And they see Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. And so in the Bible, that word lamb, unless it's a historical book in the Old Testament, which is used a lot for sacrifice, it's a literal lamb. And many times it's used as a literal lamb. Now, in this particular case, when we read in Revelation 14:1, look, and a lamb stood in Mount Zion. A lamb, no doubt, is the presence of Christ. Now, what that means, Mount Zion, my brother Marcus, many was asking me this Friday in our breakfast in the Greasy Spoon restaurant. And I, what is it? And there are many opinions, but if you go to Hebrews now, put one hand in Revelation and go to Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12, you will learn the Mount Zion also is a great picture. It's used many times. Many times it's used geographically as the mountain where God is going to work. But in the book of Revelation, it's used as a symbol. Mount Zion in 12:22 of the book of Hebrews says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of the angels. So Mount Zion is a representation of the heavenly church, the people who are all saved. And so when you go back to Revelation, you see the Bible saying, and I look, and lo, a lamb is stood in Mount Zion, Jesus in the center of his church, and with him 144,000. We learn in Revelation 7 that God is going to save all his people from Adam to the very end. And God has chosen that number, 144,000. Some Jehovah's Witnesses believe the only the literal number, 144,000, will be saved, which is a horrifying experience if that's the case. But it's a number used by God to declare the totality of his people. Now, some people in theology have said that there are 12 disciples, 12 sons of Jacob, and there are 12 apostles, and if you multiply 12 by 12, it's 144, and if you multiply by 1,000, which is the number of completion, it will be 144,000. Now, nothing of that thing is said in the Bible. So I cannot, maybe so, but nothing of these things is said in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that you multiply, because they did not multiply at that time. They used the Roman system, which is you add and rest to 9, which is logarithmics system. You maybe for engineers study that. You don't have to multiply. That's if you can memorize all the fractions from 0 to 9, which are millions of them, and then add it one to another, then you don't have multiplication. So that was the system at that time. So I reject the idea to give clues to the numbers, because then you use it as you please. So only I know this, that the Bible says that the Lamb is in the center of his church in heaven and is in control of everybody. And so my statement is that believers will always be with Jesus. There will be no one believer loose. Remember the prayer that Jesus did in John 17? He said, Father, all you have given me, I have kept. Wait a minute. That's 2,000 years ago. But because he is God, he can see you and me in the picture. And he said, all the people that you have granted unto me now and then in the future, they're all here. That I hold all of them. And that's the picture. The assurance is that we never are at the mercy of the Antichrist, at the mercy of the false prophet, at the mercy of anything ugly. We are at the mercy of God. And at the mercy of God, we're always going to be with Jesus. That's a victory. That's a real victory. Number two, and verse 1 also says that the believers are sealed. He said, having his Father's name written in the forehead. Again, I'm a strong believer that doesn't mean that God is going to write his name. Remember in Revelation, later on in Revelation 19, you will see his name is and so on. Write his name in my front head. But rather, is a picture of a sealing experience in my life. And I'm recalled in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 13 of the book of Ephesians, that God pleased to save me, when God pleased to save me, then God has established a sealing in my heart. The Bible said, in whom ye, Ephesians 1 and verse 13 says, in whom ye also trust, after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believe, ye were sealed with the spirit of the promise. And in chapter 4, the same book of Ephesians, in verse 30, they tell you the length of that sealing. They said, I grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the believers are protected by God and sealed by God until the full day of redemption. And here they are in heaven. And when God looked to them, he said, oh, yeah, these are the people that we seal here on earth. All right. So, assurance number one, the believers will be with Jesus. The believers always will have the seal of God. The seal of God doesn't go away. Now, some section of the Pentecostal church believes that you can lose your salvation. So they believe that seals can go away. And you saw in chapter 4, verse 30 of the book of Ephesians, that the seal is till the very end. And so it is no way that God will repent of saving you. No, even think, why do I save Gabriel? No, because when he looks to me, he looks through Jesus. We keep that vision. When God looks to you, he looks through Jesus. And that's a change of panorama altogether. Now, verse 2. The believers will hear the voice of God. Look at that in verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. So let's study this. Who are the people who hear God? Put one hand in Revelation. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look in John Gospel chapter 10 and verse 4. Alright? John Gospel chapter 10 and verse 4. The Bible talking about Jesus said, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 2, the Bible said, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. So here is the voice of God, all right? And the Bible describes the voice of God. And I'm going to, I put it in the outline and I repeat it for you. Number one, the voice of God is like the sound of many waters. That is forceful. I don't know if you have been in the mountain around rivers, but we have been, we were engaged in 1957. That sound right? Okay, 1957. Because I'm married, I took 7 years to get married. I was engaged in 1957. Then a group of the young people of the church, we went to a place in the province of Cordoba in Argentina, which is all mountains, and on the riverside. And I like, you know, horses all the time. So I got my horse, and I went out and out and out. And the man told me, he said, well, the horses know their way. Mainly the horses race in the place. They know their way. He said, so you don't want to get lost. Go ahead, go. But, he said, if you hear a noise, run, because that means that the rivers are coming. And when the river is coming, you have to get out, because they bring rocks and they bring things and they rush, especially mountains. I'm talking about 4, 5, 7,000 feet high. Mountains like that, when the river come down, they come with everything. And boy, you're really in trouble if you are around close to the river. And so when the Bible said in Revelation 4:2, I heard the voice of from heaven, a voice of many waters. That means it's forceful. The opinion of God in the Bible is not an option. It's forceful. When God said you are a sinner, it's not a consideration to be argued about, but is something to take seriously as a charge from God. Forceful. When the Bible said there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus, is not an opinion of the Hebrew people. It is the voice of God saying this is what it is. A forceful. And there is no doubt about it, that this is the way that God wants us to handle his word. Alright? So now the voice of God is like the sound of many waters, is forceful. The voice of God is like the sound of a great thunder. In Revelation 14:2, we read, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. It's distinctive. Distinctive. I lived for 5 years in the city of Alameda in California, where was the Navy base. And we never had thunders. Why? Because you have the ocean on one side, a mountain, a bay and a mountain, and then there is no enough temperature to force the level of the water of the clouds to break. And so there is no thunder. And so then, one day, we hear thunders. There was not, remember on the war in Vietnam, there were military trains in 66, 67. They were, the TV will go, and then you have to turn off your lights and do exercise and so on for war. And because Alameda will be the first place to be hit by the enemy. And one day we hear clear like planes. But it was distinctive, like a thunder. So the police department said, please do not call. Everybody is calling. What's happening? It just thunders. Don't you hear it? It's clear. It's not a plane. Are thunders. Please. They went on radio and said, please do not call the police. These are thunders. All right? It's distinctive. The voice of God is distinctive. You know why? Because the Bible was not written as an opinion. It was written as a determined will of God. This book is not for discussion. This book is for study, to learn, and to obey. It's distinctive. When you go to a school, I learned physics, and one of the lessons of physics I learned was that the earth was created 3.5 billion years before. I raised my hand, and I said, who told you that? And the boy, the professor, we have classes with 1,500 students in the first year. And he said, oh, don't say that. He said, Dr. So-and-so. He said, well, that's what the book said. I said, my books don't say that. And so he said, what? Who wrote the book? God. I said, oh boy, I was expelled out of the class. But it was a Catholic school and the teacher was expelled later on. But I tell you, there was a communist teacher and he wanted to tell us that the earth was not created by God. And I learned in university the earth was created by God. And I learned in the Bible. See, the Bible is a clear, distinctive voice. We learned it this morning. Job said, I have never lied. My wife said, what an impressive text. You know, as I read chapter 4 of Job, I was impressive. The character of that individual. I have never lied. And he's talking to God, not talking to you and me that can fool. What a character. And that's the distinctive voice of God. God had never lied to you and me. And so that's what Revelation 14 said. The believers, the voice of God is like the sound of a great thunder, distinctive. Then Revelation 14:2 also say, and I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. The voice of God is like the sound of many harps. I have a CD that Raquel attended a concert in Oregon of a man who played the harps. You can't believe it, how beautiful. And she bought the CD. I'm so glad because when I want to relax, after I study for a while, 3-4 hours, and I want to take a break, I shall get my car, drive a little, and I play that CD. Believe me, makes you soft and tender, and if you're angry, the anger goes away. It's just the beauty of resting in some special music. What a gift, somebody who can play the harp. Who played the harp in the Old Testament, and he was very good? David. So the believers always will hear the voice of God. See, if you are a believer, will you never question the voice of God? If you are a believer, you never have a problem about believing the Bible. If you are a believer, you rest upon the promises of God. So assurance number one, the believer will always be with Jesus. The believer is sealed permanently. The believer always hear the voice of God. Verse 3. The believers will be uniquely privileged before other beings. Look in verse 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 140,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now that's a very heavy text and it's very simple. Only the believer has something to sing about it. Only the believer. See, only the 144,000. Only the believer understood the song. You know, an unbeliever came to this church. I was exhorted this afternoon in lunch by Tayan. She was extremely impressed right at the beginning when they came for the first time to this church. Because she said the church sing hymns. They have been seeking for a church for a long time. And after they visit so many churches in the San Jose, Santa Clara area and so on, they said, you know, we look weird, dressed with suits and so on, and everybody have coffee mats in the church, and they're doing this, and they have drums and all kinds of things, and you know how delicate she is with the music. She said, I think I want to stay home. And Brother Henry heard me when I had the program on Family Radio at 8 o'clock for 5 minutes. And he said, well, this pastor who you hear in the morning, he has a church in Morning Hill. It's a little far away from us. No, I go. When she came in, the first impression was I'm music. And we opened the hymn book. And she relaxed. the new lady came to our church, Bobby. She told me, you know, it was so refreshing. She told me this morning, Pastor, it's so refreshing to come here and open the hymn books and sing to God. See, this is no stadium for a football game or baseball game. This is the church. Well, seriously, we praise God. And so the believers have something to sing about. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9, just to give you an idea what we sing about. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. This is what the Bible said. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That ye should show forth the praises of him. So when we sing in our church, we don't sing because a goal was made. We sing because we worship the Lord Jesus. Either I'm too old or I'm too off, but that's the way I like it. Seriously, we worship God. Only the believer knows the work of God, because in Psalm 14, verse 3, it says, and a son, as it were, a new son before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that son but the 144. If an unbeliever come here and you, this the hymn that Dana requested on the blood, the people will read that and will have the question that Pastor Greg has on the Sunday he preached on the blood. The blood? What are they talking about the blood? What they are saying, you know? It's an unbeliever will have that in question. But thank God we don't, because we understand it. Look in Psalm 9 and in verse 1 with me. Psalm 9 in verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous work. See, the believer can say, God has saved me, and we sing about it. The believer can say, God shed his blood, and we can sing about it. And only the 144,000, only those who are believers can do that. No, the others can repeat the songs to be kind and gentle and formal. But we, the believers, can really have a heart to say, this is it. This is what our salvation really is. So the assurance of the victory, the believers always will be with Jesus. Remember that. The believers will be sealed. There are many opinions on the book of Revelation, but remember, the believers always going to be with Jesus. The believer will be sealed and never removed. The believers always will hear the voice of God. The believers will be uniquely privileged. You, as a believer, have the privilege the unbelievers do not have. You understand God, and you sing to God, which the unbelievers have no room for, because they're careless. Then finally, verse 4, the believers will be clearly identified. Look at verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. Now, let's take that verse. Verse 4. The believers are virgin. A virgin in the Bible is a sign of purity. Let's go to Luke Gospel chapter 14. All right. Luke Gospel chapter 14 and verse 33. So likewise, said Jesus, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That is a virgin. A virgin is a lady who that dedicated herself pure, with no contamination, with anything else. And that's what the believers are. They are pure. They have rejected anything else, but they keep themselves pure. You can do anything you want to, but you don't. Today, I was showing Raquel, I turned on the internet and the Apple programming, the very few crazy things, and Greg has installed in mine a giggle thing that the very little crazy things come out. But I tell you, I said, let me put Yahoo for you. And what is this? What are you looking here? What is this? I said, these things come. And I pray to God for my granddaughters who are in the computer. that God will protect them from the evilness that can directly destroy your mind and distort the truth. And our brother Greg has done a great job, and you young people should go to Greg, and he tells you how to put that Eagle webpage that eliminates all the junk that comes around. It's just amazing. Is that for everybody, brother, or just something from Cisco that you install? For everybody? I don't get you in trouble. No. All right. Okay. It's just fantastic. The computer of the church was bombarded with all kind of pornography. The computer of the church. They do it for purpose. And I said, well, what do I do? So he and my Apple, no, because nobody cares about Apple. So you turn the Apple and it had the page of an Apple and it's okay. Brother Jack has Apple and there is no problem. But you see, we are attacked. The purity of your life are attacked. Young people, we want you to be pure in mind and heart and body and everything so you enjoy life. So you enjoy life. And verse 4 said, these are which are not defiled with women, for they are virgin. These are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goes. You follow the Lamb. Now, my favorite verse for a pastor is right here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. I just love that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Here is Pastor Paul, or Missionary Paul, I will call it. He was a pastor for 3 years in Ephesus. Be ye followers of me, he said. Now you guys, follow me. But what is the condition? As I follow Christ. And that's what Revelation 14:4 says. These are which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goes. We follow the Lamb in whatever area of our life. When we are married, we follow the Lamb. When we are single, we follow the Lamb. When we go to a school, we follow the Lamb. Whatsoever you go, you just follow Jesus in your life. And you're never wrong, and you'll be protected. Then verse 5, the key word is without. They are without fault. Look at verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile. I want to say without fault. No fault, but without fault. And in their mouth was not guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. My. Somebody told me, don't you think that's being too proud to say that you are before God without fault? What if you doubt a moment? Yeah. Let's think for a moment. What if you doubt about it? 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, sometimes we don't realize the work of Christ, how beautiful he has done. What if I doubt someplace? Here is what the Bible says. Once you're a believer, look at what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he is Jesus, abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now remember what I said a few minutes ago, when God looked to you and looked to me, he looked through Christ. And Christ, if you have a moment of doubt, if you have a moment of weakness, Christ will not go away from you. Rather, will glue to you. So God will look Christ, and you never be without salvation. Some people say, well, that's an easy life then. I can do anything I want to, and I'm saved. No, because if you are saved, you don't want to do anything you want to. If you do everything you want to, then you are not saved. You give us the sign of not being saved. By no means I can tell you who is saved or not saved. But I tell you, if you live like a dog, you're a dog. You cannot tell me you're an elephant, but you're a dog. All right? My first sermon in Mexico, in the television, I said, an elephant has little elephants, and a dog has little dogs. And that was a debate with the priest. And the priest said, what are that stupid thing? We all know that. Well, a child of God is always a child of God. Doesn't need the church to put dirty water in their head to make it more holy. No, Christ made me holy. Because I'm a child of God. And because God is holy, I am holy. I don't need a church that makes me holy. My point was the church did not save you. And all the media lie that. Dr. Zero says a dog is a dog and an elephant is an elephant. What a great statement. And today is a bigger statement. Those people who believe in evolution. Like when people come to my home and they are guests in my home, I tell my wife, have you fed the birds? And there's two fish in the tank. And people look to each other, you know, and so on. And we're eating, and they don't say anything. I said, Raquel, do you feed the birds? I said, yes. And so it's obvious. Somebody's going to ask me. I said, Pastor, where do you have the birds? Oh, right here. I said, but these are fish. Oh, but in 3 billion years. You see how ridiculous is that thing in evolution? It the same thing, my friend. Verse 4, the believers will clearly be identified. If you're a believer, what identifies you is not a paper from Bethel who said you're a member of the church. It's your style of life. The walk of life. And that's what verse 4 is saying. And verse 5 is saying. And here, you are what you are because of Christ Jesus. And this is the key to the whole story of your life. In Revelation 14 and in verse 5 said, and in their mouth was found no guile. You are not fooling anybody, for they are without fault before the throne of God. In other words, you try to walk as Job did in the integrity of life. I keep saying what an impression give to me that the best way to rebuttal bad counsel is with a clear conscience of your integrity. That's what it is. That is important. And so here is what the book of Revelation is saying. The believer, doesn't matter, will come the tribulation, will come the ugly times, will come the false, the one key false prophet and the one key false evangelist. But the believer never going to be fooled because they know God and purity and so on. We have the assurance that God is in our midst and guard us. Well, there are 4 more assurances to look on it. But boy, I'm relaxed. What a great salvation that we have. See, the book of Revelation, in the Gospels, you just have the announcements. But the book of Revelation give you the substance of your salvation. It's not just that you are saved. It's you are protected. It's you are now mighty. And we have a job to do. A job to do is to walk as Christ really walked. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. What a lesson we have in the book of Revelation. Bless us, O God, as we continue to study this book and continue to look upon the scripture. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, on the last Sunday of March, we will have the teens challenge. And they will come, 25 of them are coming. And I told them we were going to have a dinner for them too. And they're going to sing in the choir and they're going to do all kinds of things. So I'm talking to them so I can tell you, darling, what they're going to do. But I put a sign over there and they love our church, they said, because they want to hear the word. I can't believe it. They said, Pastor, are you going to be there? We want a day that you're there. You preach the word to us. I like those people already. Not because they like me, it's because they like the word. That's the people that we should invite to church, don't we? Maybe you got a break from the choir, okay, or something. We will see. Yeah, they have about 20 minutes of music, you know. But no break from the studies in the choir. All right, God bless you, and pray for you. You pray for me. We're going to be in God's willing and Modesto, and I have looking for tallarines with albóndigas, and my sister-in-law really take care of me good with the nice food, and I like it. I said to Raquel, I want to go over there and have those tallarines with albóndigas. What that means? May they bring albóndigas on all the time on Sunday. Meatballs. And tallarines is? Spaghetti. Tagliarini is Italian word for spaghetti. All right. Okay. And, she made it thick and vegan and with salsa. Okay. All right. God bless you. All right.